Tensions remain high between Thailand and Cambodia following a deadly border conflict just days after announcing a ceasefire. Thailand had accused Cambodian troops of violating the ceasefire agreement following attacks some hours after the signing. Authorities in Phnom Penh denied the charge and instead accused the Thai military of detaining 18 of its soldiers. Both countries continue to argue over which side is accountable for breaching laws of war. The Wire's Tony Pankaluik spoke to senior lecturer Dr. Gregory Raymond from Australian National University's Strategic and Defence Studies Centre for more.
Look, there's been accusations from the Thai side that there's been continued shooting from some of the Cambodian forces almost from the time that the ceasefire was supposed to have started. So this is not new. So far, it's not completely disabling the ceasefire. The ceasefire is still being implemented, although there seem to be some flaws and blemishes along the way. So it's not as if the ceasefire is now being completely abrogated and both sides are resuming hostilities in the way they did beforehand. It's just that there are periodic incidents of hostile fire, and I think both sides are trying to blame that on each other, and both sides are trying to work out a way that they can perhaps monitor this and do it from the point of view of neutral observers. So I think that's kind of some of the work that's being done in the background at the moment.
Is there a lot of pressure? I understand like each country wants to save face. They don't want to look weak in anything. But if you can give a little bit of background on the domestic situation with the leaders of both Thailand and Cambodia.
The politics of nationalism and how that affects foreign policy and how that affects whether or not countries are going to maintain hostilities with each other is always very complicated, and it's certainly complicated here. There's a lot of history between these countries, and their kind of knowledge of each other's history tends to paint things fairly black and white, and politicians can ignite a lot of patriotic fervour fairly easily if they choose to. Now, what's gone on in the past few months appears to be, and this has been validated by some very good research done by the Australian Strategic Policy Institute using satellite imagery, it does look as if the Cambodian side made a deliberate choice to try and change some of the facts on the ground, if you like, at the border around certain ancient temples which are claimed by both Thailand and Cambodia. And these changes, the building of trenches, the digging of trenches, the building of new fortifications, new supply roads, has raised tensions over the past few months, eventually leading to exchanges of fire, placement of landmines, then from last Thursday, dramatic escalation. So it does look as if there has been a choice, I think, by the Cambodian leadership and perhaps most of all Hun Sen, who's a very long-standing autocratic leader of Cambodia, to try to perhaps leave a legacy that he has brought back or reclaimed territory and heritage that rightfully belongs to Cambodia in his view. And he's chosen to do that in recent months, whereas in past few years, this issue's been very quiet. This issue is always possible to be resurrected. There were conflicts in the past between 2008 and 2011. There was 3 years of on and off again hostilities around a particular temple on the border called Priyavihear or Pratwihan in Thailand. And even before that, this border has been contested. It was contested during the Cold War because Vietnam was inhabiting Cambodia and there were Khmer Rouge forces sheltering on the Thai border. And you can go back and I could recite a number of other instances where this border has moved or has been contested all the way back to the French colonial rule in what is now Cambodia.
Out of curiosity, are there any international peacekeepers in the areas, or do you think maybe there should be? Because again, I know there's been past conflicts in 2008, 2011, but if it does escalate into worse and more frequent scenarios, should there be some kind of international peacekeeping presence? Can that actually even happen?
Yes, you've really touched on a very hot button issue. So the statement which came out of the meeting, the between the leaders on Monday mentioned that there might be the stationing of international monitors, most probably from the ASEAN, the Southeast Asian countries, to monitor peace and to monitor the ceasefire. Now, in that statement, this was something very much proposed by Malaysia and had not at that point been agreed by either Cambodia or Thailand. So I think what we're seeing at the moment, or what we're waiting for at the moment, is whether or not Thailand and Cambodia will agree to that, and then the details of how that might be implemented. And I know there's a lot of debate going on within the Thai, I guess, diplomatic, strategic, academic communities about whether or not Thailand should do this, because Thailand has in the past always resisted having any of its conflicts, whether internal or external, what it calls internationalized. It's always been very wary of an international solution or international forces getting involved. But this time around, I think there is probably some advantage in Thailand doing that, because at the moment, both sides are making allegations and it's difficult to know who's truthful and who's using propaganda. So there would be some benefits in perhaps those peacekeepers going ahead. There hasn't been a good record of this being successful. It was actually agreed in 2011 that there would be Indonesian peace monitors sent to the border of Thailand and Cambodia, but the Thai military at that time wasn't supportive, and so that never happened. So this would be a first for Southeast Asia in terms of having an international peace monitoring force if it does indeed happen.
Again, I know things are in flux. With, say, the big powers, say China and the US, I know they were happy when they came to terms with that truce. If just say things escalate further, what do you think would be the reaction with both China and the US? Like, what's sort of involved with that?
I don't know how quickly we would see any action other than diplomatic. I think if the conflict between Thailand and Cambodia intensified, we might see a lot more diplomatic pressure brought to bear. Now, what we saw, Donald Trump used the threat of tariffs as a stick to pressure both sides, and I think we could probably certainly see that. For these small countries who are fairly dependent on exports, this is quite a potent tool which to influence decision makers. So I think we could see that. I think we would see a lot more active diplomacy from China. I think China's been relatively quiet so far. So those things we would expect to see, I think, visitors from China and a lot more pressure. But at this stage, I think because the casualties, while they're tragic, they are relatively light in sort of global terms. It's not the same as the Ukraine-Russia conflict in terms of lives lost or the damage to property. But I think if hostilities were to resume and to intensify, then definitely we would see probably more involvement from those two countries. Although let's also face it that there's a lot going on in the world at the moment, and even great powers have limited attention spans.
Senior lecturer Dr. Gregory Raymond from ANU there, speaking with The Wire's Tony Pankaluik.